and he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. As it's been for the last 6 or 7 years, my co-host, Jeffrey with a G.
I'm always amazed when they come in here every Monday, and you are so on point and ready to go.
Also joining us, sports analyst Tanya Brennan.
Happy Monday.
Oh, I don't know. I'm forgetting all kinds of stuff today. Master magician Lance Burton.
And NFL rules expert.
NFL rules expert.
Yeah.
So why don't we start by talking about last night's game and Sunday games. Jeffrey with a G. I know you're upset about some of the calls and what was happening in the NFL. Then we'll move on to NHL and Major League Baseball and all kinds of stuff.
I have to be honest. It's not just the officiating that is upsetting me. And for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you heard some of my rants yesterday. I'm just disgusted with the quality of the product on the field through and through. The play calling, the players themselves, the officiating. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm watching anymore. I really don't. It's a circus. It's an absolute circus.
Well, that's a great lead into Lance. It's a circus.
I'll give you a perfect example. You know, those of us that are here in Las Vegas, I'm a big Patriots fan. You guys know that. We were watching the Patriots-Jets game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I had told you all week long that the bet of the week was the Jets plus 10 points. Did I not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you were talking about the over on the Jaguars game.
Which came in not as easily as I would have liked. So, yeah, that was my other five-star play, right?
Tough.
Over under 42. They scored 38 mm-hmm. points in the first half, and they made me sweat out the second half by scoring six. But let me go back to the New England game. This is a big game, division rivals, good football. Both teams tied atop the AFC East, so there's a lot on the line here with the win. Patriots on the road as 10-point favorites. Jets come out and basically kick them right in the shins out of the gate. They go up 14-0. Brady's not looking great. Jets are all fired up, playing with a lot more energy. Patriots eventually come back. They tie it going into halftime. Second half, New England takes a 7-point lead. And here's where the game gets a little out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this. They hit their tight end for a 5-yard dump off. He rumbles and bumbles into the end zone with three defenders on him.
Falls
to the ground, holding the ball,
yep.
Comes up with the ball, and it's called a touchdown, like we all saw on TV.
Sure.
And as they do in the NFL now, every score is always reviewed. So you get these little Muppets with their striped shirts and whistles getting on the phone with more Muppets in New York mm-hmm. to go over the play, and this is what they come back with. The player didn't have control of the ball crossing the goal line. It was deemed a fumble. And as such, New England, not only does a touchdown come off the board, New England gets the ball on their own 20 as though it's a touchback.
And we're Patriot fans.
And we're too. Patriot fans.
Right.
And I'm going, hold on. He may not have had control crossing the goal line, but the ball never hit the ground. A defender never touched it. And the player came up with the ball with control. If anything, the touchdown comes off the board. You give the Jets first and goal on the 1-yard line.
Absolutely. How was that ruled a fumble?
I still don't understand it.
Don't get it. And that was not the only call this weekend. I was almost sick into my stomach. Not only because I'm a 49er fan and they're 0-6 now, but Pierre Garçon went up for a beautiful catch, 2 feet in, and they somehow ruled it an offensive
pass interference.
Offensive pass interference.
I see more offensive PI this year than ever before. And unless the player is, like, you could almost see his arm extending off of the defender, there should be no offensive PI.
Hence, that actually gave us that opportunity to potentially win the game.
And took it off the
Wasn't
board.
Wasn't guaranteed win, but we had that chance in field goal range, and we lost our moment.
You have momentum, you're driving, you're 0-5, you're trying to get your first win of the season, and then the refs and their little whistles decide the outcome of the game.
Now, when he went into the end zone, was he a runner at that point, or was he still trying to catch the ball?
No, he had already caught it easily, had turned, was dragging three guys with him into the end zone, and bobbled it for a minute when he crossed and fell on his back and rolled over.
I thought once you cross that plane, then it's a touchdown.
We all did, Lance.
We all did.
We all did. The rules now are so, I don't know what the rules are anymore. It used to be just the nose of the ball had to cross
exactly.
the goal line. It's a touchdown.
Okay, here's the rule I want now. Here's what's upsetting me. What upsets me is these are the most shameful penalties they are, and they are the unsportsmanlike conduct on scoring plays. And the offense does it and the defense does it. When the guy scores a touchdown, sometimes now it's not enough just to score the touchdown. Now he's got to point at the defender and grab his behind or do something.
After the touchdown,
and he gets the flag. So what happens is the ref says, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct, that's a 15-yard penalty. That'll be assessed on the kickoff.
Correct.
Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. The players don't care because the kickers are so good. They know
they're going to kick it out anyways.
It's no penalty.
Right.
So now kids are watching this, right?
Yeah.
Remember a couple weeks ago when there was a big fight with the high school football players here in Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm. The dads emptied the.
That's because these kids and the parents are watching these professional players. So here's my solution: you give them the 15-yard penalty on if they do it on a scoring play, but you don't assess it on the kickoff. You assess it on the play after the kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So now, let's say if a wide receiver takes it in for a touchdown and does something stupid afterwards, so now his kicker is going to kick it off to the team, and now let's say he kicks it through, it comes out to the 25. Now you assess the 15-yard penalty. So now it comes out to the 40. Now the head coach is going to go to that wide receiver and say, "Hey, you just cost us."
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same for yards. And same for a defensive player. So that's my suggestion: is just instead of assessing that penalty on the kickoff, assess it after the kickoff.
Well, here's the other thing they have now in the NFL, which, you know, growing up we loved watching guys do their little dance in the end zone after touchdowns. Now it's deemed excessive celebration.
Right. Well,
and if you have a big hit on a guy and you stand over him, now you're taunting. I'm assuming that falls under the bullying rules that this country's obsessed with.
But they eased it up this year. They're letting them do things in the celebration this year than they were.
Not as much.
Well, like the duck, duck, goose.
Some of them I don't understand.
Exactly,
though.
I don't get that either.
Let the guy do a little dance. I don't know. I don't understand.
You know,
a lot
when
of
I was
these,
growing
though.
Up in the '80s, Howie Long was a monster linebacker. Okay, he used to eat quarterbacks, and I had a poster in my room of Howie eating quarterback cereal because he would just devour them.
Right, exactly.
So yesterday I saw a defensive player who had a big play, and he got up and he just went eating it like this, and I thought it was great.
I don't know what happened to the NFL.
It used to be fun.
And it used to be fun. Now we're overthinking every play we've got. And I got to throw this out.
And you're someone who's worked in the NFL for
absolutely.
A lot of years.
We're 7 years I worked in the NFL and have been involved thereafter for many years. Still am today. But now we're thinking about everything. We can't just play the game. We've got these other factors that are coming in.
It's too much.
On our Sundays.
It's not fun to watch anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Every play has a flag. There's replays on everything. Let's go to the play calling now, okay? The defending NFC champion, Atlanta Falcons, are at home this week on a break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not having a great season.
Okay.
They're at home against the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my goodness. And you're thinking this is going
to
be a...
They jump out. I think they're 11-point favorites, 12-point mm-hmm. favorites. I don't know. They jump out to a 17-0 lead going into halftime. They come out in the second half. They don't score a single point. They actually allow Miami and Jay Cutler, of all people, to score 20 unanswered points to take a 20-17 lead. But wait, it's not over. There's still time on the clock. Matt Ryan takes his team down mm-hmm. the field. They get inside the 30-yard line with about 30 seconds left. And all you want to do at this point, one thing that you don't want to do is not turn the ball over.
Over, absolutely.
And give yourself a chance to tie the game, give your fans a chance to watch you guys win maybe in overtime. They come out of a timeout. He throws the ball. Intercepted. Miami seals the game right there.
That was a shocker.
How are you not running the ball with Freeman in the backfield? Or just lining it up where the kicker prefers to kick and make sure that you have a chance to kick this, what's basically a chip shot field goal in the NFL. Maybe 45 yards, 43 yards. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Jay Cutler gets the W.
He gets the W.
So they're
on
celebrating
the road in Atlanta.
Exactly.
So they're celebrating in Chicago.
They're doing the Finn dance. They're doing the Finn dance. This weekend was another surprising weekend. I mean, I would have never thought the Giants were going to go in and upset Denver. That was
a
big shocker.
Another one. 13-point underdogs.
Did I see Brock Osweiler?
Yes, yes, you did.
Was my
Lance,
eyes deceiving me?
You weren't drinking heavily. That was really
I was
the Osweiler out there because Simeon went out for a few plays in the second half, and yes, Brock did step in. But again, East Coast team traveling west at Mile High, prime time. They're missing Shepard. They're missing Odell Beckham. They're missing Brandon Marshall. They're 0-5. They haven't won a game yet.
No line. They really don't have a great line.
No great line. So basically, Eli's a tackling dummy out there. The running game's average at best. And they go into Denver and just beat the living pants off the Broncos. I don't get it.
Who would have thought?
I don't get it.
Eli is very concerned. He has a limited time left. He just wants one more Super Bowl than his big brother.
He's not getting
another
Super Bowl.
That's all he cares about.
He's a gunslinger.
He's not getting another Super Bowl. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that the product across the board, even the, I started watching the afternoon game, that Chargers-Raiders game.
Mm.
I'm watching Carr and Phillip Rivers, two of the better quarterbacks in the league, just look terrible. If Amari Cooper drops another ball this year, they should just send him home.
Yeah, can we talk about that? I've never seen more fumbles in the league than
more
I've
fumbles,
seen.
More fumbles, more injuries. Oh, yeah,
this
we haven't even spoken about
right.
the biggest story yesterday. Aaron Rodgers out for the year,
oh,
broken collarbone.
Devastated. Devastated if you're a
so,
Packer
so far
fan.
This year, if you look at like superstar players, Julian Edelman, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham mm-hmm. Jr., now Brett Favre.
Aaron Rodgers. Did you say Brett Favre?
Oh, yeah,
wait, Brett's
Finesse
coming back?
Did he just say Brett Favre? I love it.
Oh,
Brett's coming back?
Aaron Rodgers.
That was a slip.
It's so funny. We were just talking about Favre before we came on the air. Aaron Rodgers. More injuries than I've ever seen. More sloppy play than I've ever seen. More drop balls than I've ever seen. Running backs that don't know how to hit a hole and get through or cut in or out. They make the wrong cuts all the time.
Out of the double-digit games that were played yesterday, aside from the Giants covering, of course, and winning.
Miami.
What were the other ones? Did they cover? What were the other double digits?
Miami won outright. Didn't just cover as 11.5-point dogs. One.
So we were talking last week about
Giants.
Those double digits.
But I'm sure the Saints, that Saints game, what was that?
Saints covered.
Game? Did they? Yeah, they covered that. That was a 58 to...
Yeah, by the way, the total in that game was 50 points. They put
52
up 90.
52 to 38.
They put up 90.
Saints beat the Lions 52
to 38. Oh, there's another one. Matthew Stafford.
Stafford, what happened there?
He threw three picks, including two pick sixes. Come on, man. I know you don't have Megatron anymore, but give me a break.
I don't think the Saints defense is that great.
No, it's not. I agreed.
Right?
Oh,
right.
So here's what's interesting. Saints put up 52 points. Meanwhile, Drew Brees throws for 186 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. Not really indicative of a 50-point performance. I don't know. I don't get it. Meanwhile, Adrian Peterson, who New Orleans shipped off to Arizona, goes off for 134 and two touchdowns yesterday.
Two touchdowns. First touchdown
Good
in the
job,
first
Sean
drive.
Payton, yep. that you yep. couldn't find a way to use this future Hall of Famer.
Wait, Adrian Peterson's gone from the
Saints.
Where's he at now?
It was at Arizona.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Everything about this game just bothers me now. I can't watch a full game anymore. It doesn't even hold my interest. I get angry.
Well, you have ADD.
I do.
I do, too.
So are there any games? I mean, my Bears won, amazingly enough.
Go, Jonathan.
I like the Bears. By the way, Mitch Trubisky's first win as an NFL quarterback.
Mitch Trubisky!
You know what I love this year is all the new rookies coming in and making a difference. Deshaun Watson.
Who's been saying Deshaun Watson since the draft? This guy.
Yep. Yeah.
He just set a new record for NFL rookie quarterbacks. Three straight games with three touchdowns.
Four games over 30 points, right?
Correct.
It's crazy.
We're
going
to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass store provider in Las Vegas, invites you to call them for a free estimate or stop by their modern showroom to view all the possibilities for your new windows or to replace your tired, worn out windows and glass doors. Windows Plus can help you lower your power bills and make your home the talk of the neighborhood. Windows Plus, serving Las Vegas for over 40 years. Windows Plus, 5225 South Valley View, at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. 702-450-2275. That's 702-450-2275.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween Murder Mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature three-course service, along with two courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all town folk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
NBC Sports 920, The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Stop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. And yes, we are live. And joining us on the telephone, calling in, former Major League Baseball pitcher Josh Towers. Josh, are you there with us?
I am here.
Hey,
what's
Josh.
Up, buddy?
I think I'm okay. It's a typical Monday, though, so we've got technical difficulties in the studio, and I know Jeffrey's off on a rant, and he wants to get with you on Major League Baseball and the playoffs.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one ranting yesterday, Josh.
Is he still bent over the Red Sox?
Oh, you want to go there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did it hurt?
I was actually referring,
we still got the Yankees alive, so we're okay.
Yeah, they're barely alive. They're on life support. Let's see if CeCe can get him out of the hole today.
I'll tell you what, man. I hope he does. He's been pitching well. I mean, he did it in Cleveland. Shoot, he's done it both times he's pitched. So we'll see what happens. They've been on life support the whole time. They've been hanging in by a thread.
Let me ask you this question because, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan. You're a Yankee fan, and you know how that goes back and forth. All my boys in New York, we were going back and forth. I can't imagine why, or I can't figure out why, Girardi is still batting Judge in the two-hole when he's been completely ineffective for the last 10 games.
Yeah, you know what? I've always said this about the Yankees. They've always been really good at not playing people just because they're getting paid a lot of money. They've always played them based on performance. But it's a little bit different this time with Judge. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. They have a pretty good bench. They have guys like Holiday and other people that they can put in. I guess you're never really going to take his bat out of the lineup given what he can do. But I guess I see what you're saying. And I don't know if it has something to do with if he's protecting, you know, people hitting behind Judge or in front of Judge, you're protecting him. Because if you put him 8 or 9, I'm still going to pitch him the same way. I'm not going to pitch him any differently. So it has to be something to do with the guys in front of him, behind him, getting better pitches. I mean, if Didi's going to hit that well right there and he's in front of him, then, oh, well, we got to leave it how it is.
Well, and that's what was confusing to me as well, Josh, because I'm not suggesting you take him out of the lineup or bat him 8 or 9th, although we saw Joe Torre do that with A-Rod a few years back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think he hit him 7th or 8th. But you got to drop Judge down to the, I'm going to say, 5 or 6th hole. And then right after Didi had that 2-home run performance in the 3-hole, he moves him down to 4. I don't get it. It's very confusing to me.
Yeah, no, I don't get it either sometimes, too. I mean, I told you, we walked into many clubhouses where you go to look at the lineup when you first get in, and you just like, wow, what's going on here? Why is this defense on the field? Or why is this guy here? This guy went 3 for 4 yesterday. Why do they move him? I really don't know why managers do it. I don't know if it's just to spark something. I mean, honestly, it's really hard to say. I know people like protection. It's the only thing I keep going back to. But, you know, when Didi goes 2-for-2 off Kluber and hits two bombs sitting in the three hole, I think that's a pretty comfortable spot for him. I might want to leave him.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I just don't get it. And the other thing I don't understand is the Yankees are setting all sorts of new records for strikeouts. They're playing a very, very talented team. I want my most productive guys at the top of the lineup to get something going.
Yeah, I think you and I talked about this, too. I think the strikeout thing is completely overrated. It's just like the home run thing. Why have records set in home runs this year? I think records may have been set in strikeouts. It just goes back to that vicious cycle of no one cares whether they put the ball in play. If they hit a home run, great. If they strike out, it's the same thing. So strikeouts are what they are. Judge, you know, he's been setting records all year, so I think he just wanted to get that one out of the way in the first three games and go ahead and lock that strikeout record down. He did a pretty good job of that. You see how it is with him, man. He can't hit the ball away. And the balls that he does hit away, which he's very good at, they're actually middle in. So the balls that are located down and away on corners that start on the corners and slide off or fastballs that stay there, he can't get to. And he's not making the adjustment to say, you know what, pitchers don't pitch in enough and we don't pitch in consistently enough to where I have to worry about it. So if I were him and I'm struggling, I would sell out the inside part of the plate and just live on the outside half.
But you're the one that always told me that Pedroia was the easiest out on the outside
easiest
of the plate.
Out.
So I'm going to take
you. That's not even me running my mouth. That's just what I felt like for him. You just throw him 14 fastballs away, and he can't go oppo pop. He has to get started in order to drive the ball. And if I miss something middle in, then, you know, if he cheated, he got to it. I just felt like he wasn't ever going to beat you away, so I was willing to give it to him.
Let me ask you that another question. Obviously, that game two was so exciting with Correa knocking in Altuve from first base. I got to tell you, I think Altuve is the most exciting player in the game to watch. I love this kid.
Dude, 4 years running. 4 years running, this kid's had over 200 hits in a season with all the other things that he's done. And on the opposite side, like we said, of what we're talking about, he has never struck out 100 times in a year. The kid's absolutely amazing. That team's pretty exciting. You know me, I've been saying the Yankees are going to win the World Series the whole time, and I still hope they do. But on the flip side, how awesome would a Dodgers-Houston Astros World Series be?
Now, on that relay play at the plate where the game ended, I know a lot of New Yorkers are coming down on Sanchez for not grabbing that ball because it was certainly there in time and he could have made the tag. Any thoughts on that other than he should have made it?
Plenty. I thought about this ever since it happened. I thought about this. First off, short hops are really hard to pick, and you're talking about catcher's gloves who are full of padding. They're used to catching 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, man. The short hop a ball is really hard to do, so I can't really put that on Sanchez because the ball beat him by 20, 30 feet. The throw's got to be the long hop or it's got to be better. But here's the thing, and this is what I've been thinking about. We work on relays all spring training. We work on PFPs all spring training. And when we go through the motions of these, we just get in position, we lob the ball in, we lob the ball to the catcher, and we move on. No one ever makes the full throw when we're working on it. We take it serious to an extent, but I never let the throw go. And now all of a sudden it shows up in a game where I got to relay the ball, and I have never fully made that throw. So all of a sudden, it's random. My brain knows exactly what to do, but my body's never really done it because we don't really go through it at 100 miles an hour. So I think that it's need to be taken more serious when we actually practice on it. And I also think that the relay throw was offline anyways. I mean, it's almost like they weren't going to go home with it. They expected him to stop at third base, which maybe he should have, but he caught them sleeping. And now all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, I got to relay this throw, and he wasn't prepared to do it.
You brought up some good points, and it's funny because I used to catch in high school, a little bit in college. You don't realize when you're on the ground like that to go pick up the ball how hard it is with a catcher's mitt. It's a very good
huge
point.
Yeah.
And tell the listeners what your PFPs are that you're practicing in spring training.
Oh, yeah. Pitcher's fielding practice, man. So all day we got nothing else to do. Pass throwing, what do we throw for 15 minutes? And then we got some bullpens, and, you know, most of us don't have much to do, so we have to kill a couple hours. So we really just work on bunt plays. We work on comebackers. We work on turning double plays. Whatever pick plays we may or may not have, getting over to first base, double plays, all kinds of fielding, pitchers fielding practices we work on religiously all spring training. So once again, it depends on the effort that you put in. You know, the guys that actually take their time and actually want to improve on it, they're the defenders that they keep in the game. When there's a bunt situation, I'd rather have this pitcher on the mound because I know he can field his position. So you see some of them starters go a little longer just based on their ability to field their position.
Real quick, and we'll segue off of baseball into some football, but
gotcha.
Charlie Morton, CC Sabathia today, you're telling me the Yankees are going to win this one?
They're minus 140. I know that means nothing.
So I'll rephrase my question. Is there great value on the Astros plus 130?
if it was a day game, I'd say no. I don't think Charlie Morton can pitch in the day at all. I think it's a terrible number. So I'm just going to act like
my
it's a day
it
game.
It looks like they've gone
the
deep into their bullpen, and the pitching just looks tired. What do you think? You think we're going to have a shot?
For who?
I'm sorry. Jonathan's not wearing his headsets. He was asking you about the Cubbies. Didn't realize he was interrupting.
Yeah, no. Watt was lacking in the game.
I agree.
Again,
that's Wade Davis.
This starting pitching going into the bullpen is getting ridiculous. None of them, though, I think only one of them so far has had any success. All of their other ones have given up runs or base runners that led to runs. Lackey, of all the guys in the world, Lackey should be coming in the game. These guys got to trust our bullpen. I mean, if you guys really want to win the way you won during the regular season, let your starters go six innings, let them go seven innings, and let your bullpen fill out. I think, and listen, I know the Cubs won the World Series last year, but Madden got bailed out a lot by
his
team, and it's overlooked.
Yes, he did.
Hey, Josh, this is Tanya. How are you?
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
Hey, quick question. I know you're a big Ravens fan. Big time. Can you tell us your thoughts on Joe Flacco?
I'm out. I mean, you saw it. I'm out. This is ridiculous. I can't do it no more. The game's 10 times too fast for that man. He's in slow motion, and the rest of the guys are playing football, and I'm not sure what he's doing. He's in water or something. And him and the Ravens alike, they've never made an adjustment to do anything to get better. And it drives me crazy watching him. As soon as he says hike, he's on his heels running backwards, and he's looking to check down immediately. Oh, my God, it's so frustrating.
It's tough.
I'll tell you what was so funny is I was ranting on Facebook yesterday watching the Patriots-Jets game and the horrible officiating and what was going on in Atlanta. And then I flip over and I see you're going off on Flacco. And I'm like, I'm with him, dude. I don't want to watch this game anymore. It's a bad product.
We're out.
I don't know. I don't know what's worse. If I'm a Niners fan and we lose every game by one run or one point, or if I'm a Ravens fan and we keep doing that. I don't know what's worse.
Almost pulled out the win. They came all the way back.
Hey, Josh, but this is the good thing about the Niners. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Uh-huh. At least we're consistent. We are very consistent in the Bay.
And I'll trade you Flacco for Hoyer any second of any day.
I know, I hear you.
Hey, Josh, this is Lance Burton, and, I'm retired now, but when I was doing my show,
I wish you weren't, buddy.
Oh, thank you. One of my favorite people to come in to see my show, and he came in several times, was Pete Rose. I just want to throw that out there and say I wish they would reinstate Pete Rose.
Lance, first off, you're one of the best of all time. I'm kind of bummed that I missed meeting you today. Pete Rose is deserves it. I mean, for me, for what he did, he did it as a manager, as a coach. He didn't do it as a player. This is the greatest hitter of our generation of all time. I don't think, past what Ichiro did is pretty impressive. I don't think that anyone's going to be able to match that. And for him not to be in the Hall of Fame, for what he brought to the game, the energy level, the hustle. I mean, if you listen to him speak about the game, it's kind of eye-opening on his thought. You know, he always tells these guys, you ever want to get to my record, you might want to hope for extra innings. You might want to not take a day off.
Wow.
And it's crazy to hear him say that because that's true. I mean, you got to get those extra bats to be able to somehow get over 4,000 hits. It's just amazing, man. And I agree. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I hope they continue to lobby for him. I know he's got my vote.
Yeah, I hope they do too. He's a great guy, and I remember one time he came to my show, and people love him, and I introduced him in the audience, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, we have the greatest baseball player in the history of the game, and if you don't believe me, look at the stats. Pete Rose, and Pete, stand up, take a bow, and then after the show, he comes backstage, and he says, Lance, when you were introducing me, I started looking around. I thought Babe Ruth was in the audience.
Josh, I want to thank you for calling in. We know you're busy. We've got to get you back in the studio before baseball's over. So we appreciate you.
Josh, miss you today, buddy.
I appreciate you guys having me. Lance, nice talking to you. Tony, I missed you. Sorry. I'll see you next time.
Next time.
Great pitcher, Josh Towers. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio. We're going to take another commercial break and come back with Lance Burton.
Hey, Las Vegas, are you building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass store provider in Las Vegas, invites you to call them for a free estimate or stop by their modern showroom to view all the possibilities for your new windows or to replace your tired, worn-out windows and glass doors. Windows Plus can help you lower your power bills and make your home the talk of the neighborhood. Windows Plus, serving Las Vegas for over 40 years. Windows Plus, 5225 South Valley View at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. 702-450-2275. That's 702-450-2275.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween Murder Mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature three-course service, along with two courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all town folk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
NBC Sports 920 The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM, and we are back.
Did we leave?
I don't know where we're back from.
we're back from commercial break. It doesn't seem like we take them, but we do. Monday Night Football at Sapphire is on. Sammy Davis Jr. Way's best place to watch Monday Night Football. Food, booze, big screens, prizes, and $1 lap dances at halftime. Woohoo!
Welcome to Las Vegas, baby.
Tonight at the Classic Jewel, 353 East Bonneville. This is like the extreme opposite. Join our friend Isabella Ivey in Opera on Tap. Las Vegas in October at the Classic Jewel, 353 East Bonneville, as they present Opera on Tap, a greatest hits gala fundraiser at their favorite bar, the Classic Jewel. I've never been to the Classic Jewel, but sounds fun. Enjoy opera jewel favorites from your favorite singers while you bid on exciting silent auction items. Portion of the funds raised are going to go towards the victims and families affected by the tragedy on October 1st. Kelly Clinton Holmes open mic cabaret at the Bootlegger Bistro starts around 9 p.m. presenting talent new and old with music standards. Some of the best local talent in Las Vegas. Bootlegger is on Las Vegas Boulevard South near Blue Diamond Road. On the other side of town, the Tap House Lounge presents its open mic night with a smoking hot live band, dancing, great casual dining. Tap House is on West Charleston around Jones. No cover charge at either open mic. Get there early. Composer Showcase is Wednesday at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. I always say we finally have a cultural center here in Las Vegas that doesn't have stripper poles or slot machines, but we're working on it. The Shinta's at the Plaza, Vinny Favorito at the Westgate, and I think that's what's happening around town. William Lance Burton, born March 10th, 1960 in Columbia, Kentucky, is a retired American stage magician. Lance performed more than 15,000 shows in Las Vegas for over 5 million people. Wow. 2010, Lance ended his 31-year career. Lance became interested in magic at the age of 5. A volunteer at a magic show of a magician named Harry Collins during a Christmas party at the Frito-Lay plant where your mother worked.
Yes. Now, first of
this
all...
This is Wikipedia, and it's never right.
Yeah,
so.
My parents were from Columbia, Kentucky. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky.
And is that how you say it?
In a hospital. Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville in a hospital. And the,
in a hospital.
I did 15,000 shows. That 5 million people, that only refers to my last gig.
So it's more than 5 million people?
Yeah, it's I have records for my last gig at the Monte Carlo Hotel. So we did over 5,000 shows there for over 5 million people. But in my whole time in Vegas, it has to be, you know, maybe 10 million or more.
Wow.
Yeah, I was
going to
bring a deck of cards, but I forgot that along with most of my notes today.
The last
time. I thought you were going to do a magic trick with your hanky on the break.
I want to get Lance's autograph before you go. That's impressive. That's impressive.
I have something better. Now, for the autograph, the last time I was here was I was doing the world premiere of my family movie, my comedy called Billy Toppit, Master Magician. It was a fundraiser for the Shriners Hospitals.
Oh, that was as well.
Which we're going to get to in a minute about the Shriners. But we were doing our world premiere at the Palms Hotel. Since then, I'll bring you up to speed.
Please.
We made our festival premiere. We were the closing night film at the Wild Rose Independent Film Festival in Des Moines, Iowa. We won the award for Best Family Film, along with five other awards. And it was just released last month on Amazon.
Ooh.
And is now available as a digital download or streaming or as a DVD. And
did you bring us one, Lance?
Because
he's got presents.
Oh, wow. I love presents.
I love guests that bring gifts.
I have guests that bring gifts. Nice. There is a DVD.
Nice.
For those of you near a computer, we also broadcast this show live on Facebook. So we're showing stuff.
This is the one that you find for me.
There you go. As for everyone on the show.
Bobby.
Thank you.
And there's a bunch of DVD extras in there also. So
wow, thank you very much.
There's some deleted scenes, and there's a little teacher trick.
Best family film at the Wild Rose Independent Film Festival.
This is cool.
This was a little autobiographical, wasn't it?
It's not autobiographical. It's fictional, but I do all the magic in the film.
As you
should.
You didn't get a stuntman for that?
I talked. They wanted too much money. I literally talked all of my friends into appearing in the movie for free.
Nice.
Chris Angel does a cameo. Yeah. Louis Anderson does a cameo.
We need more butter.
And on the DVD extra, there is an extra with Louis Anderson on here.
Love Louis.
We were doing his scene, and after we had filmed it, I knew I had it. I went up to him. I said, Louis, we've got it. But I could tell. Every time we did a take, he would throw a little joke in. And finally, after we got it, I said, Louis, we're going to do one more take, and this is for you. You do whatever you want, and I'll follow you. And Louis and I improvised for like 2 minutes, and he was hysterical.
Wow.
I couldn't use the whole thing in the film, but I included it as a DVD extra, and Louis is just fantastic.
He is hysterical.
Hey, Lance, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What was your most memorable show that you've ever done in all the years you performed?
That is really difficult to answer because we had so many exciting nights at the show. It was, you know, a lot of them involved, you know, people coming in that you admire. I remember we had just opened in 1996 at the Monte Carlo. Bruce Willis came in with his little daughters, and they were like 6-7 years old at the time.
Yeah,
And I introduced him in the audience, and he stood up, and the audience went crazy. And his daughters were looking at him going, Daddy, where are you going? What's going on?
I just saw him in a movie. I got a red box. It's Something in Venice, it's called. He plays a private detective.
I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. I love Bruce Willis.
It was a lot of like his moonlighting role.
That was a great show.
With Cybill Shepherd. It was the first show that he...
But they came backstage, you're used to seeing him in those action roles and the tough guy, but it was neat to see him as a father because he was there with the daughters and he was so sweet with these little girls, and they came backstage and he was like, no, dear, don't touch that now. Mr. Burton has to do another
very
show.
Real.
Very real.
Like a real dad.
Yeah, I was looking at a bunch of stuff before I got the Wikipedia, which is always wrong, and I looked at the video of the first time that you appeared on the Johnny Carson on Tonight Show.
Yes, October 28th, 1981. And
October 28th, 1981. Correct.
Yes.
You won a copy of Billy Toppit.
Billy Toppit. Johnny Carson.
I guess you don't forget the first time you go on Carson.
That's right. Everyone remembers the date of their first Tonight Show.
I can't remember mine.
And Carson was very, very kind to me, and my act was 12 minutes long. They told me I couldn't do the whole act on the show, but to do it in rehearsal. and they would figure out what parts we were going to do on the broadcast. Johnny was watching the rehearsal, and right afterwards, the
he was a magician, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came over and
was very nice.
And then a few minutes later, the producer came over and said, "Johnny was watching the rehearsal." Johnny said, "Let the kid do the whole act."
Fantastic!
Wow, cool. That's great. Right?
He personally intervened. And that was my. So what? What awesome. A great guy!
You know who else started as a magician? I know that you're going to know. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin did a comedy and magic act, but he was
at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
I always wanted to float. You know how the women fly in the air?
Yeah. Pet monkey.
I think they call it levitating.
Is that what it's called? Levitating. Yeah. I said float.
Have a few cocktails. You'll be floating.
I haven't even had a cocktail.
You're used to like football floats.
Exactly.
So, Lance, since you've retired, I see you at almost every charitable event here in Las Vegas. So you're so socially community-minded, and I applaud you for that. But you've got one coming up. For the Shriners,
right.
And I remember the Shriners from Chicago, and they would have the big Shriners parade. And I just wanted to know what you have to do to get the fez.
The fez, you have. I think I'm not a Shriner. I think you have to join. But the organization.
I remember the Shriners, and I remember the Variety Club, which we just lost Monty Hall a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
But Monty Hall, I think, pretty sure started the Variety Club.
Variety Children's Charity.
Right.
He was very involved in that. In fact, I sat with him at dinner a few years ago
when
they had the big Variety International meeting here in Las Vegas. But, you know, what you just said is very important. You remember the Shriners as the guys with the fez. And that's what a lot of people think. They're the guys with the funny hats and the funny little cars.
And they squeeze into the little cars, yeah.
Exactly. But there's also a very serious issue behind all of that.
In the hospital.
There are 22 Shriners hospitals for children all around the country. They never turn any kid away for their ability to pay. So these are kids whose parents don't come from a lot of money but have very serious issues. Burns, orthopedic problems, and the Shriners treat these kids absolutely for free. And that's why they're always doing fundraisers to pay for the medical treatment for these kids. And we're having a big fundraiser for the Shriners in Las Vegas this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And you're going to ride in on a pony?
It's
the horse you rode in on.
My little pony.
That is to be determined, but it's the Shriners Circus, and it's at the Boulevard Mall, and they're doing three shows a day, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. I'll be there Friday at the 3 p.m. show, and I'm going to go out in the center ring and welcome everyone. Now, I'm just going to show up and do whatever they ask me, but I may ride in on a pony. It may be an elephant, maybe a tiger. I don't know.
I thought I read that you're going to do a magic trick.
Well, maybe I'll do that too.
You might perform.
I don't know.
Last time you were here, you did a card trick, and I was going to bring some cards, and I forgot the cards. Anything could happen. Yeah, I just always think that maybe you have something in your pocket.
Well, sure.
Yeah, see?
He's in the pockets, right?
I had a feeling.
You know. Now, can you move the camera around for people? And I'll do this.
Do you want me to come close up?
Yeah, I will do this. I'll do this for.
We have some live action going
Tanya.
On here. Oh, my goodness.
Magic doesn't typically work well on radio.
If you're near
a computer, go to Jonathan Scott LV.
Now,
we have rabbits.
Can you see this? Can you see the rabbits over here, Jonathan?
Yes.
The little foam or
they're not real rabbits,
it's
Jonathan.
It's a fuzzy bunny.
fuzzy bunny.
They're just little foam.
Lance has a little fuzzy bunny.
I'm checking out the rabbits. There's no trap doors.
Now, Tanya, hold your hand out. This is Peter Rabbit. This is his wife, Gladys.
Okay.
I'm going to hold on to Peter Rabbit. I want you to hold on to Gladys. Squeeze real tight. Peter's at the top of the hill. He wants to visit the wife, but he doesn't want the nosy neighbors to see him. So I have to make him invisible like this.
Wait.
He travels down the hill. He jumps into the rabbit hutch.
What on earth?
And now tell everyone what happened.
I witnessed this entire thing. So I was holding... Can I say the wife bunny?
Yes.
While you had the male bunny.
Yes.
And we both closed our hands together, so we each had a bunny.
Yes.
You opened your hand. There was none in your hand, and I ended up with two.
You had both
bunnies.
This
is crazy.
Now, look, I'll do it backwards. We'll do it again. I'll make Peter Rabbit jump back.
I need to look at your hand. Okay.
Here comes Peter.
Hold your hand out. Now, you're going to hold both. Peter will jump out of your hand back into my hand. Okay, right? Squeeze real tight. Don't let go. I'm going to close my hand, and I want you to count to 10 out loud.
One, two, trois, Cuatro. I'm joking. Four. Oh, wow. Five. It's getting very six, fancy. Seven, eight, nine, ten.
Did you feel anything happening?
I did not.
You did not. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, I know. You have to say the magic word. You have to say, Peter Rabbit, go to town.
Peter Rabbit, go to town, baby.
Oh, oh, she added that baby in there. Who knows what's happened now? Slowly open your hand up.
It had babies!
Is that what they mean when they say multiplying faster
than
heaven?
This had babies!
What happened? I don't understand. What happened?
This is insane. Oh, my goodness. One, two, four babies.
You have some fertile hands.
I have some very fertile hands. Maybe I should go grow some gardens. That was amazing.
That was great. That was
last part of the period this Friday to benefit the Shriners at Boulevard Mall, Friday, 3 p.m. We're going to take another short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 a.m. Stay right where you are.
Hey, Las Vegas. Are you building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass store provider in Las Vegas, invites you to call them for a free estimate or stop by their modern showroom to view all the possibilities for your new windows or to replace your tired, worn-out windows and glass doors. Windows Plus can help you lower your power bills and make your home the talk of the neighborhood. Windows Plus, serving Las Vegas for over 40 years. Windows Plus, 5225 South Valley View at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. 702-450-2275. That's 702-450-2275.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacasaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween Murder Mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature three-course service, along with two courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all town folk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
NBC Sports 920, the game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Stop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. We've got Master Magician Lance Burton here in the studio. We've got sports consultant Tanya Brennan, and of course my co-host Jeffrey with a G. Line one, go ahead. So
What did the Englishman say when he came home to find his wife in bed with two other men?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
I like when that happens.
Whose telephone
while we're
was
live.
That?
So we've got a, yeah, it was mine. My iPhone has taken on a life of its own now. It's because the new iPhone 8 is out, so I think the iPhone 7 is just planned obsolescence.
What was that?
Planned obsolescence.
Huh.
Was that a big word for me to
That's
use?
That's a big word. That's a 75-cent word.
I was going to say, it's a bigger word for me to understand.
Wow. Planned obsolescence. I don't know. We haven't had any really big words today. Tennessee. In Tennessee, the Titans playing Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee getting -7.5, and the over and under is 49. Jeffrey with a G.
Updated line, -7, 46.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Obviously, the big story here is whether or not Marcus Mariota is going to play tonight.
It should be a backup of the backup quarterbacks. I mean, a game off of the backup quarterbacks.
Right. Now, the Colts have won 11 straight games against the Titans. So the fact that they're getting 7 and they've been playing better recently, I'll take the Colts here because I don't know what I'm getting from the Titans. Both teams are 2-3, both vying for spots in their same division.
I think Frank Gore is going to put some yardage on the board. I'm going to go with the Colts.
You're taking the Colts?
What the heck?
I'm taking the Colts too,
yep.
I think, yeah.
You're going to take the points?
I'm going to take the points.
So Frank Gore from the 49ers?
From the 49ers.
Is now with the Colts.
Yes.
Somebody's got to put out a sheet of paper to tell me where everybody goes.
Yeah, Tanya does.
And we just released, the 49ers just released one of their star linebackers after 8 years with the team. And honestly, I think it's because the scheme has changed up a little bit on our team. So it's requiring the backs to run a little bit more. So he just got traded today to the Oakland Raiders, just across the bay. Signed for a 1-year contract for $3 million. Big loss for the Niners, in my opinion.
I'm sure the Raiders can use all the help they can get after losing to the lowly Chargers yesterday.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go to Sapphire's.
Another wonderfully played game in the NFL.
17-16. I'm drinking Bud Light tonight, Jeffrey, with a G.
I love Bud Light.
By the bucket.
You can get buckets of Bud Light all over town.
You can get it at the Westgate.
You can, and they're delicious there.
I don't know where I'm going
to watch. Served at a perfect 33 degrees.
I think I'll be there. Thursday night, not one of the better. Well, we got Kansas City against the Raiders, so it's only 2.5 in Oakland.
He didn't say who was favored by 2.5.
Kansas City is favored by 2.5.
Yes, they are.
I agree. I think Kansas City, they have the Raiders' numbers. Every year, the last couple of years, Raiders can't beat Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Yep.
Well, keep in mind now that Kansas City was 5-0 until yesterday, and they were embarrassed at home by a very mediocre Pittsburgh Steelers team. I don't know what the score of that game was, 20-10. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Le'Veon Bell finally had his breakout game. Antonio Brown finally had his game. But don't sleep on the Chiefs. They'll take a week off, and they'll come back hard against the Raiders.
What's the status of the quarterback there at Pittsburgh?
Big Ben?
Yeah.
I don't know. Small hands at the
He wants to play. He doesn't want to play. I think he wants to play.
You know that Steeler game yesterday, they actually came in and held Kareem Hunt down to only 9 carries for 21 yards yesterday. So that was pretty impressive because he's outstanding.
It makes you wonder what Andy Reid's game plan was with Alex Smith. If you're not going to run on Pittsburgh, you've got a problem because they can't stop the run.
Well, I don't know.
Listen, guys, if you're a big fan of sports, you have a great night ahead of you. We have Game 3 of the ALCS, Yankees-Houston. Take Houston plus the 30 cents. It's a great bet right there.
When do my Cubs play again?
The Cubs aren't going to play until tomorrow, and they're going to send Hendrick on the mound. And I got to tell you, he's going up against Yu Darvish and the Dodgers, and that team looks too good to be stopped right now. I think we're going to see an Astros-Dodgers World Series.
It looked pretty tough. I want to thank our guest master magician, Lance Burton.
Thank you so much for having me on. Everybody, come out this weekend to the Boulevard Mall, Shriners Circus. They're raising money for the Shriners to take the kids to the hospitals.
Great thing. Tanya Brennan, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you see us out, please buy us a drink. Say hello. Jeffrey with a G, as always. Eat well, party hard, my friends. Have a great week. Jonathan Scott, like us and share us. I don't like